Instructions for living a life. Pay attention. Be astonished. Talk about it. That's poet Mary Oliver, and this is Everyday Wonder, a podcast where we turn down the volume on all the shouting that's going on these days so we can talk about the things that really matter. I'm Brett Will Taylor, and I am here with my Everyday Wonder co-host, Renee Peck.
Hello, Brett Will. I'm glad to be here. Today, we are talking about something that's very dear to the heart of many Americans, sports. Particularly with the season just underway, NFL football. Hopes are being lifted and dashed even as I speak. Now, it's very easy to talk about the everyday wonder of watching our teams win. So we're not going to talk about that. Instead, we're going to talk about the wonder of following a team even when it does not win. The wonder, if you will, of perseverance, of hanging in there often for years, sometimes decades, when the dividends are not measured in trophies or championship titles, but in grit and determination and some kind of obstinate persistence that makes us keep showing up. So for this conversation, I've asked my son-in-law, Armin Samuels, who is a local lawyer and an avid football and basketball fan, to represent the Houdat Nation. Hello, Armin. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for being here, Armin.
Thank you for having me.
And give us a little perspective. First of all, how long have you been a Saints fan? And tell us, give us a little background as a Saints fan in particular, but a New Orleans sports fan in general.
Well, I think obviously I was, as you said, I'm born in New Orleans, so I've been a Saints fan all my life. And I was born 1984, so and the Saints were not good until 2001, maybe with the Aaron Brooks era when they finally won a playoff game. So I had a long time where the Saints were not good. And I think a lot of it had to do, the reason why I was so into it had to do with living in New Orleans and that being the only professional sports team that we had to root for. We got the Hornets when I was a senior in high school, and now the Pelicans also had a bit of a rough patch for a while. So I'm kind of familiar with being a fan of sports teams that aren't necessarily that good. If you would have told me now that the Saints would have been this good and this popular, I would not have believed you.
So I think here's what I find crazy. So, you know, I'm going to play Renee Peck for a lot of this and be like the journalist. And, you know, it's unfathomable to me as someone who grew up in Dallas and then, and I hope both of you don't leave when I say this, spent 20 years in Boston with the Patriots.
Ah!
Exactly. It's unfathomable to me that you all had 20, is it 21?
We had 21
consecutive
years of losing seasons.
Right. 21, and you still hung in.
Yeah. I think another thing, too, is being able to commiserate with other Saints fans who were on the same page as you. Just you wanted to be so good, and sometimes they were so close, and they would just blow it.
So is this kind of what it's like to be in America right now, that, you know, things are so bad or the politics are so bad, and we just get to commiserate with each other?
No.
Okay.
No, it's about more than that. It's about community. It's about connection. And I don't think that other fans and other football franchises around the country don't feel this way. I think people are passionate about their teams. I think that they're passionate everywhere. I think in New Orleans, though, we have a real connection to place, and we have a real connection to the people and community and culture around us. And one ESPN writer talked about how the Saints changed the relationship between franchise and fan. And that,
what does that mean?
That means that, to borrow your analogy, a lot of people look at professional sports the way Romans once looked at gladiators in the Colosseum. They went and they cheered and they locked lots of bloodlust and then they went home and they did other things and they left it behind. We don't leave the Saints behind. We carry them home and into our families and into our houses with us. Do you agree?
I agree with you. That's another thing with the Saints, too, and maybe even with the Pelicans, not as much now, but when they kind of went through that transition period from the Hornets to the Pelicans, no, everyone said we were going to be terrible. So it's kind of there's a portion of it where you're kind of like, I want to show them wrong. I want to show that we're a bunch of bums or anything like that. And I think that's also part of the pride of a team that isn't so good you still continuing to root for them.
So I want to play something out for you all. My partner, who is from New Mexico, is a Pittsburgh Steelers fan and is an unmovable Pittsburgh Steelers fan. And I was telling him about this episode, and I said to him, you know, why do you always cheer for the Steelers? And it was, his answer was, because we're a team. And that so stuck with me, because you think of Pittsburgh and some of what it's gone through. But I think that is one of the differences, that if you don't really know New Orleans, people miss. You know, when you go back to the Gladiator piece, folks in New Orleans don't cheer the Saints on because they are always the best. They're the purest. They're conditioned to
rarely
always win.
Are they the best.
Right. Whereas I think in New England, that kind of is how we cheer on Tom Brady. He's the best. He is the prideful gladiator representing us. But we aren't the team, and the team isn't us. There's a separation. But in New Orleans, I think we're the team.
Yes.
Yeah, I think also geographically, New Orleans is a very small city where you probably might run into, you know, maybe not Drew Brees, but Cam Jordan, and tell him who dat and give him a high five, and he will respond. And people aren't rushing up to get pictures with him. They're just more kind of seeing him as a fellow New Orleanian.
Well, and I think this gets to something that your mother-in-law has talked about, which is it's a community piece. You know, it's more than socialization. It's a community, right?
No, they're part of the family.
Right. And
so they're more than that.
Yeah, I mean, look at Thomas Morstead. I mean, I think he just had his fourth child here, all born in New Orleans, and he's proud to say that he's a New Orleanian, though he's not actually from the city of New Orleans. Him just having his children here, being proud to say that they're from New Orleans.
Well, Drew Brees has had four kids here.
Drew Brees, but you know, you see Drew Brees kind of leave in the offseason and stuff. I guess you look at some of the players that maybe aren't as nationally known, such as Thomas Morstead, who really embrace the city and people love it.
Steve Gleason,
yeah.
Oh, absolutely, Steve Gleason.
Huge Steve Gleason.
So I want to just hold out these two pieces that we're talking about here with sports, because the American way to think about sports, the mythic aspect of sports, or the predominantly mythic aspect of sports, is that it's about winning or losing. It is about vanquishing opponents, right? So the American version of perseverance is you persevere until you win. I hear you all having a different conversation, which is the perseverance is because this is your family and this is your team. What is that?
Well, the hero's journey is to me about the journey and about the struggles. And I think that the hero's journey is about identifying with heroes who teach you something about compassion and loyalty and struggle and staying in there. I don't think the hero's journey is necessarily just about winning.
To me, coming out of the Patriots land, when the Patriots lose, or when you lose in New England now, you are a failure. Like, this is bad. This is not supposed to happen. And I think when the Saints lose, and I literally have seen this, people will just go, well, there's next week. What is that? Why do you all do that?
Because we're masochists.
I honestly think a lot of it has to do with when the Saints won the Super Bowl, they could do no wrong after that. I really feel like they did something that no one thought that they could do. And when they did it in such spectacular fashion, I mean, against Peyton Manning, they weren't favored. You know, they had an incredible season.
So I'm going to just ask you to pause, because a lot in New Orleans, that story is so known. But will one or both of you take people to
2009?
Where was New Orleans when the Saints won the Super Bowl?
Well, I guess it had been four years since Katrina hit. So we had had a significant amount of time to kind of rebuild a lot and clear out a lot of the mess that had happened. We'd also had, at least with the Saints, a glimmer of hope. You know, the year after Katrina, we went to the NFC Championship. We had never done that before. I feel like they had taken them and put them in the right direction. And that kind of took people's minds off of things, which I know has been talked about, and you know, people, but it's true. I mean, we had something to look forward to and some hope that there'd be some success.
I think that's true. I think that if this was an epic journey, it was New Orleans' epic journey.
It was the hero's journey
for
New Orleans.
It was an epic journey for New Orleans that we were struggling and that we were overcoming adversity. And the Saints was a metaphor for us overcoming the adversity that we had seen for all of these years before. And it was our time to shine. And, you know, I do think that first you were at that. Were you at the game in 2006 when Steve Gleason blocked the punt?
I was in college at the time, but I was watching it. I mean,
yeah.
So he was too poor to be.
Way too poor.
He wasn't a lawyer yet, nor had he married into your family, Renee. He was dreaming of having a family that could take him. So there you go.
But you know, I was in the upper nosebleed section for that game, and when Steve Gleason against the Atlanta Falcons on the first drive of the game blocked the punt and we recovered and scored, it was as though the entire city had suddenly won something, had suddenly engaged in something that was meaningful. And I looked around that stadium with 60, 70,000 people in it, and it crossed every demographic. It had every age, every gender, every socioeconomic level. And the guy next to me turned to me and said, "Please share my French fries." It was like, share this moment with me because we are here together and we are enjoying this together. And that went beyond place. That went beyond Superdome. That went to you in Virginia, and that went to other people. Yes.
Well, you know, one of the things that I find interesting about sports is I think it's the last shared myth that we have in America right now, or at least the last shared myth that we're happy to have, right? Because for a variety of reasons, some good, some not good, some honest, some not honest, we no longer hold the myth of the hero who goes to war. We no longer hold a common myth of the hero as a cop. And again, for reasons that are true and not true, or a politician, certainly not our religious figures. And I think sports is all that's left. That I think if you were going to poll Americans, it would probably poll, if not at number one, at number two or three. So for you two, what is the value of the myth of sports? And particularly what we're talking about with the Saints, or if my partner were here, the Steelers, is the imperfect hero. You know, I don't think you all are sitting down because even Mr. Counselor, attorney over here, because you're waiting for the Saints to be perfect. So what's the myth?
Well, I don't think it's about the players as being heroes. I think it's, and maybe the game is bigger than the individual players, I don't know. But in New Orleans, I think it's about belief and community and culture, and I think it's about identity.
Okay.
I think that what we see is part of who we are. And I do think we've lost belief in our, I think that we believe in America and the system, but not in our individual leaders. And I think that maybe football or basketball, when it works, is a metaphor or is a placemaker for what gives this particular group of people identity.
Okay. So Armin, your mother-in-law has told me that you're a student of myth or hero's journey. So what's the myth of the Saints to you, and the shared myth of the Saints?
I think it's difficult to have a shared myth of the Saints, because I feel like everyone views the Saints from a different perspective, because you have people that move here within the last few years and they become Saints fans. They jump on, which is fine. But I can go back to some of these conversations I had in high school with some of my best friends about the Saints, and we'd be laughing, you know, that the Saints would, even though we watched them every Sunday and we were so into it, we still just never expected something like that to happen, for them to actually be consistently good, I'd say. So I think that anything can happen, especially with sports. And if you have the right pieces fit, you know, even for a franchise that seemed as doomed as the Saints, things really can turn around. I just think it takes the right people and the right fan base.
Do you think you can extract life lessons from that? Did it teach you anything about life?
I think it definitely teaches you not to take it as seriously. I mean, when you look at it, it's just a game. And these guys are being paid a lot of money, but, and it comes down to it, they're playing a game. So it's supposed to be fun, you know, and it's not, you're not supposed to take it so seriously
that it's going to doom your year or anything like that.
But I like this because most people take sports as being this metaphor for life, and it teaches you about perseverance and whatever. But what you're saying is it also teaches you not to take life too seriously.
I kind of think that growing up as a Saints fan, maybe that's what we got from it, and we got a sort of sense of humor about it. And then when they had this turnaround, I mean, we thought it was kind of funny, like, wow, this is actually happening.
You know, there's two things to take from this. There's a great Zen teaching, you know, the day that humans care more for play than games is when we will have turned a corner, because games are about rules and about structure and about winning or losing, whereas play is just about celebration. And while I am sure if we had a Saints player sitting here, they would say we are paid to play a game, I think what you're talking about is the city, the family is just celebrating. You're playing. And the second thing I want to do is both of you have used the word believe. And as I've thought about this episode, what I've, and my partner would tell you this, so I have to admit it because otherwise he'll call in and demand it's told. You know, I love sports, but I don't really have a team. I grew up in Dallas, so I was a Cowboys fan. So I've never forgiven Jerry Jones. You know, I cheered the Patriots.
Oh, no.
I left Boston. And for those of any of you listening from New England, one of the cruelest realities of life is when you realize how everyone outside New England hates you, hates. It is personal and it is eternal. And then I came to the Saints and it's beautiful and it's fun. But I, you know, I would lie if I said I feel about the Saints or any team the way you all do. So as I thought about this episode, I'm like, so where's the commonality? And you cannot compare a New Orleans experience with any other experience, right? But I think you can look for similarities. And the similarity to me is in the word believe. And for me, it goes back to the days of when I was in politics, and we were true believers. I'm not sure they exist anymore, but back then we were true believers. And I think of two examples for that. One is around universal health care or anything resembling the universal health care. And Teddy Kennedy and others, every year that was Bill 1 in the House and the Senate, and we knew. We were like your high school friends. We knew it wasn't going to go anywhere, but we believed in it. More personally, I think of gay rights. And we knew we would never have gay marriage in my lifetime, but we believed in it. And so we showed up for it, and the impossible can happen. And I think that's the beauty, and that's what I want to underscore for listeners who might not be from New Orleans. You just believe in the Saints.
You know, Buddy DiLiberto, who was a very revered sportscaster, and he said that if the Saints ever won the Super Bowl, he would parade down Canal Street in a dress. And he died before the Super Bowl was won by the Saints. And so when they won the Super Bowl, a bunch of people led a parade of men dressed in dresses down Canal Street in his honor. But I think the point was he never really thought it would happen. But I think there's a dichotomy there because you believed even though you didn't believe, right?
Right. And I feel like it always kind of came down to like, oh, next year. Like, oh, next year, they'll be good. And like you could pass it off as like, we don't have to worry about like being the best right now. Like, we think that we can get there type of thing. Another thing to touch on, Buddy D, he was a sports personality or I guess WWL. And he had like a speech impediment. Yet he was the most popular sports analyst on the radio at the time when the Saints weren't any good. So I feel like there's some sort of parallel to that, somebody doing something that maybe people thought he couldn't do, yet there he is. And years after he's died, people are still, you know, celebrating him, especially when the Saints are doing well. I mean, Bobby Hebert had that dress parade for Buddy D.
I think it's because we loved him in spite of his defects, and I think maybe that's the point with the Saints. We always loved them despite their defects.
Or is it because? You know, Joseph Campbell once talked in his interviews with Bill Moyers that perfection is so boring, and that's why we gravitate more to Christ than God. And I think there's a truth in that. And, you know, in Boston, and I do not want to piss either of you off. Let me not say, I want to be clear, I don't agree with this. But before the Super Bowl last year, or this year, before this past Super Bowl, there were articles in the Boston Globe that said, has New England become bored with winning?
Oh,
that we had
ouch.
That New England had won so many times. New England was
that's
so
my
perfect.
Point. But
so,
that's the
so
point.
That's, but that's my point too. Is there what is there in the imperfection of a hero? What not despite, but because of? Is that part of
I
why
you believe?
I think
it's like the city of New Orleans. I think New Orleans has so many imperfections. We have a terrible government, and we have a bad infrastructure, and we have all kinds of problems, and we have poverty,
and we have lots
of potholes and lack of education, and yet we love her. And yet we don't really think she's ever going to be pothole-less, but it doesn't matter because we love her in spite of her imperfections. There are those who come to New Orleans trying to change her and trying to make her perfect, and they don't get it. And I think it's the same way with the Saints. I don't think winning and losing... We never thought that winning would happen. And I think, too, you have to go back to the fact, and Armin can talk to this, that he spent his entire childhood and high school years watching a losing team. And I think,
cheering for a losing.
And I think if you don't go through that trial by fire, you kind of don't get where we are today. Do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I also think, similar to like paying your dues in any type of profession or something like that, where the first few years or maybe the first 10 years, you might be a grunt and you're doing a lot of the dirty work, but you're getting your hands dirty. And I feel like that made sticking around with the Saints that much more pleasurable.
You don't appreciate it unless you have to work for it.
Right.
And perhaps there's a karmic aspect. Perhaps those of you who are Saints fans in this life will be ahead of Patriots fans in the next life because you've paid your dues. Now, I want to raise something that I've heard, Armin, you're quite passionate about, which is, let's go back again to the idea of winning and losing. Talk to me about how you feel about Fairweather fans.
So I get really pissed off with Fairweather fans, and one of my best friends is a Fairweather fan. He did not watch the game yesterday. He's still angry about last season and the no call and all that stuff.
So he's going to show them.
So he's, yeah, that's what, and I said, so what, you're just sitting the season out? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, you're not welcome back in. You can't just sit out a season because you feel like it. You know, you stick with them when they're not good. You stick them with, you know, you're with them when they're good, obviously. So I get pissed off when they're Fairweather fans.
You know, I read this story online about loyalty and the Saints and how being a Saints fan has taught you loyalty. And this was another person who, like you, Armand, had started when they were a child being a Saints fan and gone through it. And he writes, I remember sitting in my daddy's lap cheering for the Saints. We were losing a lot back then. Daddy said, never give up on what you love because it's not working right now. Support is never easy. And I think it is a lesson in character, in a way, to stick with something that is not paying off, but that you know is going to bring you something in the short and long term.
And I think that may be a nice place to wrap this one up, is never give up on something that you love. Was that the quote?
Yes.
Because I think we live in a world where through social media or whatever hobgoblins we want to point out, we are so conditioned to look for, to demand instant gratification. And the Saints don't provide instant gratification. New Orleans doesn't provide instant gratification. And I think in life, at its essence, doesn't. And so maybe if there's something to offer anyone listening, whether you care about football or not, or have been to New Orleans or not, is we all have something we love. And it may be something that no one else believes in. And never give up on it, because that's where the wonder is.
I agree. Thank you very much, Armin, for being here. Thank you, Brett Will, for being here. Despite the fact that you're a Patriots or a one-time Patriots fan, we forgive you, because in New Orleans, we understand the power of forgiving.
Because we're family.
Because we're family.
We all have the black sheep.
And to all of you listeners out there, we thank you for listening. We know that you have your own teams and that we know that you are passionate about those teams. We applaud that. We understand. And we hope that you win. But we hope more than ever that you appreciate the journey and not the end of the journey, because that's where we are here in New Orleans. Please do leave us a review if you are listening to this. We would love to have it. And please join us next week for the next episode of Everyday Wonder. The world.